The Rush Hour. The Rush Hour. On Cold 92.5.
Great to be here wherever I am. I always love it when I'm here. But I've never been here before. It's great to be back. I've been on the road doing comedy now for 10 years, so bear with me while I plaster on a fake smile and plow through this one more time.
Heyo everybody, what is happening? Here we go, Luke Bradner, Mel Buttle, our special guest co-host this afternoon on The Rush Hour as we continue our never-ending search to find a replacement for Margo. Don't you reckon they should just give you the job, Mel?
Look, if they're willing to come up with $6 million a year...
Is that what it would take?
Yeah, I'm willing to negotiate.
So you're going to go for half the price of Margo?
Yeah, look, I'll start low
yep.
and work my way up to your level. Yeah,
Mel, I just need to take a bit of time, you know?
Yep.
I don't disagree with it. As a back yourself, start low, you'll be on Margo Parker money before you know it. And I've enjoyed working with you.
I like working with you. You're a nice young man, Luke, as my mum would say. He's a well-mannered young bloke.
You know, just speaking of manners, it's funny you say that because we were talking about it at the gym today. I was with my mate Graham, and I thought that what I was doing was showing respect to Graham's wife's dad, right? Because I've gone up to Graham's wife's dad.
Yep.
And I've gone, "G'day, Mr. Rundle. How are you going?" Now, he'd be in his 70s. He'd be mid-70s.
That is how you greet someone in that age group, yes.
And like, Jane's name is Jane Rundle, right? So I've gone up to her dad and I've gone, "G'day, Mr. Rundle." And he goes, "Please call me Greg." And I go, no, it's Mr. Rundle. Like, good on you, Mr. Rundle. He's from Canberra, actually, and he's a goat farmer of all things, right? Old school guy.
You get around, the people you hang out with,
so
oh my gosh.
He goes, call me Greg, and I say, no, it's Mr. Rundle. And he goes, "Oh, I'd really prefer you call me Greg." And I go, "Well, you know what? I like Mr. Rundle, and I think it shows respect." And he goes, "Well, my name's not Rundle. That's Jane's married name. My last name, I think it was like Clarkson or something like that." But completely got it wrong.
And you should have just called him Greg.
I should have just called him Greg.
Also,
I thought I was being respectful. She changed her name. Of course she took Graham's name when she got married. I didn't know. What an idiot.
Look, just checking.
What an idiot. Yeah.
What person your age has a friend called Graham, by the way? How old's Graham? Is he in a nursing home?
No, he's in his 60s. Graham's in his 60s. He's a personal trainer. He's a really great mate of mine. I've been training with him for about 15 years. And over that 15 years, he's got me fitter and fitter. But over that period of time, he's got fatter and fatter.
Oh, Graham.
He really has. He's got rheumatoid arthritis. And you'd look at him and you'd go, "Oh, okay, there's a PT and his trainer," but you'd think I was the PT and he was the trainer, but he's not. He's not a physical specimen any longer, but he knows his stuff.
Yeah.
And I enjoy training with him.
Well, I'm proud of you, Luke, for going to the gym.
Right.
And doing your fitness and doing your training, because I know you've been up a mountain, you've run a marathon, you do swimming.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know it's not school and you don't have to do that anymore.
No,
do you?
I'm going for prefect.
That makes sense. Yeah.
I'm going for prefect here at Gold 92.5.
Yeah. You don't have to do two sports a term anymore.
I enjoy it. I know you're in a bit of a fitness kick, aren't you?
I am. Although I cracked it a bit this morning and I cancelled my gym membership.
Why? Why did you cancel it?
Someone who worked at the gym told me I needed to swipe in at all times, even though this very person held the door open for me so I could come in without swiping. Then he lets me in. Like, it's a real bait. He lured me in. So I just go, "Oh, thanks, champ." Walked in. He goes, "Oh, you need to swipe in for insurance purposes." I was like, "Yeah, how do you like these insurance purposes?" Dear Jim, cancelled.
Did you really?
Yep, cancelled it right there and then on my phone.
Over something as simple as that?
Oh, I am at 9 out of 10 all the time. Like, I've got a temper.
But yeah. I don't understand what the guy did wrong. Like, you can understand that they must need to know if you don't swipe in, they don't know if you're in the gym or not.
Just come and ask me, "Am I here?" "Yep, I'm in."
And so just over that, you've gone, "No. Nah, you've broken it, mate. I'm cancelling my gym membership."
Don't hold the door open for me.
Right.
Don't go, "Yep, you're right," and gesture and nod as if to come through.
Okay, I'm just going to talk about you because effectively you're in a job interview phase at the moment, all right?
Yes.
So I'm just going to talk about you with the guys in front of, behind your back, in front of your face, all right?
Righto, yep.
Guys, do you reckon she's going to be difficult to work with? Like, you and I, we've got no social graces, and do you reckon we're inadvertently going to annoy her if she comes on full time without even knowing that we annoy her?
Oh, no, she seems fine. She seems genuinely...
Just don't piss her off.
Yeah, right, that's all okay. I would do. Don't open the door for her.
Don't open the door for her.
I reckon reckon don't insist that she does something that she has to kind of do every day because she knows. Yeah.
Women get funny around doors. We yep.
And
you
don't,
know?
Don't give her a fob to get in the building.
No, don't do that. And then I open the door and go, oh, you still got to swipe in for in just in case, you know.
You know what
happens.
It sounds like to me? It sounds like you're anti-authority. Like, and you know what that means? You and I are going to get on fabulously well.
Great.
I'm anti-authority. I hate people telling me what to
don't
do.
Don't tell me what to do.
Oh, mate, the joint that I live in, great high rise. Like, I love it. The apartment, but there's so many rules and there's so many regulations. And this is what's going on with me just in my car park at the moment. I've got one person complaining that I parked my car too far forward in the car park. Another person complaining that I parked my car too far back in the car park at the moment. And it just, I go, I can't win in this joint. You can all go and get knotted. I'm just going to live my life and you can go, you just live around it, you know?
Luke, can we wrap this up now, please?
Why?
I'm just trying to tell you to do something, that's all. Oh, see if you take the bait, you didn't.
Oh, I'm right. Shut up. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what to do. So that would mean, given that you and I are both anti-authority,
yep.
we'd either get on really well or it'd be a disaster. What do you think?
I think we get on great as long as no one tries to be like, guys, just with the washing up in the kitchen, don't don't you dare. Do not make a sign. If you make a sign with clip art on it, I'm walking.
Hey, the chances of me doing that are zero. Wouldn't know how to do it. Big show for you this afternoon. We've got some exciting news about a new name for us here at Gold 92.5. Mel met Curtis Stone over the weekend. Turns out he's a bit of a tightwad. You can hear that for yourself. Rugby Union World Cup, the Kiwis are out. We'll get into that for you. And my girlfriend's stressing about not being able to do certain thing in our relationship. We'll talk about that and a whole heap more on the catch up. And it starts for you right now.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
We've got some very exciting news. You may have heard this morning with Bridge and Spider, but in case you didn't, then we're going to let you know of some changes that are happening here at Gold 92.5. You've only just been here a couple of days, Mel, and things are changing left, right and centre for you.
A bit of change management going on. We're going to have to touch base and track that through
well,
the
this
project,
is, this,
aren't we?
This is really exciting. Now, I grew up here on the Gold Coast. And
you can tell.
Can you? Yep. I've got a few giveaway signs,
yep.
do I?
Pearl of a day today. Look at the swell.
See, it's the Gold Coast in me coming out. And what I love about working here at Gold 92.5 is being old school. And I am. I'm old school Gold Coast because I grew up here. I love the fact that our station is the original station. You know, we've got a couple of others. We've got I call them the Johnny Come Latelys. We got Hot Tomato started back in 2000 and, I don't know what it was, three? Oh, that booer, mate. I was there. I started that station, you know. and then we got Hit 105 or whatever, with 90.9 mm-hmm, CFM, mm-hmm, whatever yep. they're called. But anyway, but Gold FM, we're the original station.
Yes.
Like back in the day, Mel, I don't know if you ever cruised down Bundle Road, you saw 4GG. That was a legendary station. 4GG was our first FM station that we mm-hmm. ever had here on the Gold Coast. That's us.
And when did that open? About 2001, was it?
But 4GG.
Yeah.
No, 4GG was back in the 80s, mate. And,
yep.
and we've had a few changes since then. 4GG is now Gold FM. But mm-hmm. we went through a couple of changes. I remember when 4GG went to, I think it was K-Rock.
Yep.
And then we went through another name change. And we've been Gold FM for a long time. But the exciting news is, and drum roll please, Brixie. After many, many years here at Gold 92.5, past 22 years, in fact, being known as Gold 92.5, as of November 8, which is next Friday, we are now going to be called 92.5 Triple M. The Gold is 92.5 Triple M.
Okay, I've got to call my tattooist. I've made a huge mistake.
Nothing else changes, Mel. Nothing else changes. We're the same station. We're the same, you know, heritage station that kickstarted FM radio here on the Gold Coast back in the day with 4GG. Nothing else changes,
all right.
But apart from our name, we're going to be Goldie's 92.5 Triple M.
Are we still going to play Darryl Braithwaite Horses?
No, of course we will.
Great.
Of course we
will.
Well,
that's my main concern with the station.
And I'll tell you what else we're going to do, because it's a big day. You know, how often do you change your name? It's been 22 years mm-hmm. since we last did it. We're going to have a massive, big free concert. And this is a free concert. So you don't win tickets. And everyone, all of you are welcome. Everyone on the Tweed Gold Coast, come along to a big concert that we're having November 8 in Surfers Paradise, the heart and soul of the Gold Coast. You're going to hear these guys.
It was 13 days ago when I found myself alone. I broke again.
Birds of Tokyo. Conrad Sewell is going to be there. And the whole Goldie 92.5 Triple M family is going to be there as well. It's pretty exciting stuff.
And that's at Cavill Avenue, which you might know if you've attended Schoolies Week.
Oh, mate. That back the home of Grundy's back in the day. You want to talk about 4GG, you know, what our original name back in the day, 4GG. Back in the 4GG days, we had Grundy's down there. Remember, we actually had the water slide at the end of Surfers Paradise.
I would beg and badger my parents to take me to Grundy's.
Yeah.
I'd be like, can we go this weekend? Can we go? And they'd make up some rad excuse like, oh, we can't go all the way to the Gold Coast. I was like, why not? The Kenny Koala at Dreamworld, though, I've got a few pics with him over the years. That's some of my memories.
I'll tell you, I can tell if you're old school or not if you ever went to Magic Mountain. Went on the chairlift at Magic Mountain. Do you even know? Do you remember Magic Mountain? You're not old school enough.
I'm not old school Gold Coast. You are.
I'll tell you if you're old school or not by how you refer to Wet n Wild. If you call it Wet n Wild, you're not old school. What? If you refer to it as Cades County, you're old school.
Oh, Brixie, Cades County.
Am I right, mate?
It was originally Cades County, and all that area is still referred to, I think, on the maps as Cades County.
Yeah, see, this is going old school. Then that's what we are. We're at a heritage station here. On the Gold Coast, we're 4GG heritage, and you can't buy that. You can't. This is 4GG original. Link, is this the jingle?
This is the original jingle from 1967.
Pump this up.
Gold Coast is just for fun, just for golf and just for sun, just for taking all the tension out of things.
Oh, mate! Wonder how they did in the ratings. If this is the jingles they're playing, I'm glad they didn't have competition back in the day.
Oh, yeah, that's a long jingle.
Hey, we want to open the phones up for you now. We're going to go old school. What are your old school memories of the Gold Coast? Because as we get a new lick of paint here at Gold 92.5, and look, to be honest, nothing else is going to change other than our name. It's just that we're going to come. We're getting a legendary name. Triple M's a legendary name. When I got into radio, Mel...
Mm-hmm.
I wanted nothing more than to work at Triple M.
Oh, because, ice cold cans of Coke. Black T-shirts.
Triple M is just a legendary station. And to have it be our new call sign, I'm just so excited by it because it just represents everything that's rock and roll about radio. It's such a hardcore, legendary name that's going to fit so perfectly here on the Gold Coast, particularly given that we've got such a great history here with our station coming from 4GG into Gold 92.5 and now into Triple M. I'm so excited by it. And we want to just have a walk down memory lane now. If you've got any old school memories for us, we're talking about Cades County. You give us something that lets us know your old school Gold Coast. Janine from Benowa's called through. What did you want to say, Janine?
Hi, guys. Yeah, I moved here in 72, so I grew up with 4GG, especially my teens, listening to the Top 40 on Saturday night and taping the songs off the radio, all that sort of stuff. Do that Bombay Rock, used to go to the Penthouse and Tara Village and Bombay and Paradise Room.
Underage.
Yeah. Oh, mate. It's funny you say that, Janine. Whoever's yelling out the underage there. Look, I started going out in the late 80s, 1989, and back then, I'm not even kidding you. You could show any ID and get into the nightclubs. Like when I was 17, I dead set looked like I was 12. But you could show a video membership card and they'd let you in.
Right, come on through, mate.
Yeah, you're right, mate. Come on in, Mrs. Chang. who else has called through?
We have Andrew from Palm Beach. Andrew, take us down your memory lane.
I'm going way back, like mid-70s. I moved over here. I moved to the Gold Coast when I was 5. And we lived at Treasure Island Caravan Park. And that is where the Star Casino is now is.
Yeah, right. That was a caravan park back in the day.
That was a caravan park back in the day. And then we moved from that to Casino Caravan Park in Carrara. But across the road from the caravan park where the lagoon and all that is, that lake area, that used to be known as Gold Coast Raceway with the drag strips and everything in it.
Oh, Surfers Paradise Raceway used to be out there. That's right.
That's it.
Yeah, he's old school, that guy. Damien from Allensvale, what do you got for us, mate?
Mate, we used to go to the Chuck Wagon. It used to be at Chugan, just along the stretch there, just south of the pub, from there. Hey, used to go get a steak or sausages, some bolognese and a lettuce cup for some coleslaw in it.
The chuck wagon's got a different term now for school this week, isn't it?
It does.
Yeah. Hey, one more. Lyndon from Broadbeach, what did you want to say, mate?
Oh, sorry. Hello.
Good, mate.
Hello.
Good, mate.
Yeah, when I was a kid, coming down from Brisbane, I live in Goldie now, but in the public park, there used to be these egg toys. Used to sit inside of them and they used to spin around real fast.
Yes, I remember those. Yes, I had a good time in those. I think I threw up my first ever Hungry Jack's burger.
in one of those.
So, what are they? What are you talking about, Mel?
It's like a little playground chair equipment thing that you could sit in and spin around in, and it's worth the drive down from Brizzy in the 80s because there was nothing else to do. Yeah,
it was a big white eggshell, like, or an egg, like it was, I don't know, 5 feet tall. You just sit inside of it and you just spin around. It's crazy.
Now you got to go to the GC600 if you want to throw up your Hungry Jacks. Back in the day, you just sat in an egg. Hey, good on you, Lyndon.
I want to give you a prize because that has taken me back down memory lane to some old school memory. So I want to give you
early 80s.
Yes. Do you want a prize, Lyndon?
Yeah.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Moment silence for the Kiwi population here on the Gold Coast. Doing it tough, Mel, after the All Blacks booted out of the World Cup over the weekend.
The vibe I'm getting is it's like someone in their family has died. And you don't know whether to say, you know, when's Nan's funeral, or just pretend it hasn't happened. I don't know what to say to my Kiwi friends.
Just don't. Just pretend it didn't happen.
Words aren't enough at a time like this.
I know, I was cheering for New Zealand. I mean, if I got a choice between the Kiwis or the Poms, I'm cheering for the Kiwis all day long. So I was disappointed, but I'm hearing that Kiwis are really upset that their team got booted out.
I heard a story about the New Zealand front cover of the paper. It's an all black piece of paper on the very front page, and just in tiny writing, it's like, we're out of the World Cup. The news is at the back if you want to read it.
The Herald Sun went with that in New Zealand, and their coach was shirty too. At the end of the game, one of the reporters asked him, hey, what happened, mate? Were your team just not up for it? Were they not hungry? And he got really up, this guy. Have a listen to this.
I'd just like to clear that up too, because I think it's quite a disrespectful question to suggest that the All Blacks turned up not being hungry. They're desperate to win the game. Because I've asked them at half-time to get hungrier, doesn't mean to say they didn't turn up to be hungry. There's a big difference. And if you want to spend some time outside, I'll give you a rugby education on that one. But to turn up and say an All Blacks team comes to a semi-final of the Rugby World Cup with the amount of ability and the history that it's had behind it, to say it's not hungry, that's a pretty average question, I reckon.
Imagine if he had gone outside and fought the guy. That would have been hilarious.
Oh, is that what he means by a rugby education? I thought he was going to take us to the rules of rucks and mauls and scrum feet.
I mean, if you're that reporter, if you've got even half a set, wouldn't you go, yeah, let's go outside and give me the education? Like, even if he beats you to a pulp, it's still going to be a classic story.
I think it's a reasonable question. You lost the game. You've won the previous two World Cups. Were you not hungry? Something's happened.
They didn't look hungry to me. They all looked very well fed, as far as I could tell. But I mean, I'm not making fun of it, because I know I take State of Origin very, very seriously. And this is bigger than State of Origin, because it only comes around once every 4 years. And the Kiwis love it so much. And this would have been devastating for so many Kiwis. Like, you actually, Mel came along and she was full of herself because you were tweeting. Like, you took the opportunity to write jokes throughout the course of the game on Twitter. And a lot of them were very funny, but you didn't even care that the Kiwis lost, because you were just stoked that someone liked your tweet.
I just wanted to blow up online, go viral, break the internet, Kim Kardashian style. And I got very close to not nearly doing that. But I had a famous person like some of my rugby tweets.
Who liked your tweet?
None other than retiring Wallaby, David Pocock.
So you felt good about yourself,
did
you?
Felt great about myself. I've got two likes, and he was liking my rugby tweets, not my usual tweets about, you know, I've spilt pork nachos down my front. Like, my sports-based
You
tweets.
Made it, Mel. Made it. David Pocock liked your tweets. But did you know anyone cry? Did anyone cry? That's what we want to know. Because I don't blame you if you did. I've, as a grown man, Actually, the last time I cried over a footy result would have been, I would have been 13 or 14. Queensland lost to State of Origin. But do you reckon any grown men here cried on the Gold Coast when the All Blacks got thrown out of the World Cup?
Oh, you bet. And dob them in.
Yeah, dob them in. Yeah. If you, I mean, I don't know. That's a... It's pretty funny when grown men cry, but if you've witnessed it, we want to open the phones right now. Did you spot a grown man cry when the All Blacks lost? We've got a massive Kiwi population here. Dob them in. If they cried, we'll talk them through it. We'll be sensitive to their needs, Mel. We'll be sensitive to their pain and sorrow. But 132710 is our number. Yeah, maybe it's your husband, maybe it's your dad, maybe it's you, and you're just going to own up to it yourself. Have you ever cried at a sporting result, Mel, that you can remember?
Yep, year 11, lost the hockey Open B Team Grand Final to girls' grandma, cracked it, threw a stick on the ground, cried all the way home in the car. Mum was like, oh, I don't know what to say.
It was the B's, not even the A's.
Nah. And yeah, no, I get it. I get crying over sport, and I understand the Kiwis. It is their everything.
Yeah, exactly.
It is their religion over there.
It's massive. Max from Palm Beach, what's your story, Max?
Well, I haven't cried personally, but I noticed the other night when I was at the nightclubs that all the security guards were crying.
Oh, yeah, right. That would have been a good time to sneak into any nightclubs when the All Blacks were playing. You know, there would have been no security at any nightclubs on the Gold Coast. Hey, let's go to Benny from Burleigh. What do you got for us, mate?
Oh, mate, I'm just calling up about the All Blacks result and getting bundled out of the World Cup. It's sort of pulled at me heartstrings a little bit.
Yeah. Did you shed a tear, mate?
I sure did. I had a little bit of a tear dribbled out my eyeball, and I actually left and went to Topgolf because I couldn't stand watching after half time, and caught a few glimpses while I was there, and I wasn't a happy man. I had to drown my sorrows.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
I enjoy hanging out with you, Mel, I'll be honest.
Oh, thank you. I'm enjoying your company.
Yeah.
You're not just the weatherman from the telly, you're a real person.
No, I'm not a real person, but I am. I got a story about the weather. I'm going to share it with you tomorrow, by the way. I'll save it, but I've got to go do a talk on the weather tomorrow for 1 hour. But that's a story for another day.
You better get Googling.
I'll fall asleep. I will fall asleep during my own talk. But anyway, yeah. You've been doing a lot of talking over the weekend yourself.
I was working on the weekend. I was at the Good Food and Wine Show because I host a baking show on Foxtel, and I was there with my mate, Chef Matt Moran. So we were doing some cooking demonstrations.
Was Mel just dropping a name there?
Clang!
I mean, just pick up that name. You're friends with Matt Moran.
Yeah.
Oh, look at you.
So he's cooking these amazing dishes, and I'm just on stage going, why are you doing that? How much salt do we put in? Just helping him along, having someone to bounce off on stage, right?
Is it because I can only imagine that they get you up there as a little bit of excitement? And I'm not having to go at Matt Moran, never met him, but I'm thinking that the organisers must have gone, don't just put Matt up there by himself, get some entertainment up for him. You know, him cutting cucumbers is not going to be that exciting unless we've got Mel Buttle up there to make it, you know, interesting.
Well, he does a very nice rustic cut cucumber,
right?
I'll have you know, look.
I bet he does, eh? I bet he does.
Oh,
I bet he does.
Mate.
Yep.
And I actually had a bit of a brush with fame,
right,
at the Good Food Show.
Apart
from Matt Moran. Someone even probably more famous.
Hmm.
I'll give you a clue. Down, down, prices are down.
Oh, Casey Donovan. You saw Casey Donovan?
Wrong.
No?
Nope.
Who was it?
I saw and met and had an interaction with none other than the hunk of spunk himself, Curtis Stone.
Oh, from Coles.
Yeah, from Coles.
So you've never met Curtis Stone before?
Never met. Curtis doesn't know me from a bar of soap, right? So I'm on stage with Matt Moran and I'm like, yeah, yep, good on you, put in some more pepper. And then for some reason, I know Curtis is there at the show, and I start saying, yeah, so you could get that from Coles if you want. You could buy that. I'll get that from a local Coles. Curtis, bing, comes on stage, $20 note, little bit of a lobster on display, just hands that to me.
For plugging Coles.
For mentioning Coles, right. And I was like, well, you're welcome, Mrs. Stone. Not a worry.
So he's like joking, oh, because you're mentioning the people that pay me, I'm going to give you $20.
Having a bit of, he's a funny guy.
Right.
He's paying attention. I thought, oh, that's a good little bit. The crowd loved it. Whatever. I think I've had my moment with Curtis. Let's not go for a second. And then Matt is obviously jealous because Matt is 50 and Curtis is young and gorgeous. And I start talking about Curtis's beautiful hair and how he's killing it in LA with his restaurants.
Isn't Matt Moran bald?
Bald as a... Bald
so
as a
You start banging on about how luscious his locks are.
He's got great. He's got a good head of hair.
But are you doing it to get like just get under the skin of Matt Moran?
A little bit.
Right. Okay.
So Matt's arcing up a bit, going, "Oh, bloody Curtis! No, I'm, you know, I've got all these restaurants." Next minute, Curtis pops back on stage again, hands me my second lobster of the day, gives me another $20.
So at this stage, he's giving for the joke, he's given you $40.
I've got $40. Now, I was in a bit of an ethical dilemma with this, Luke. When the show finished, I come off stage. I've got $40 of Curtis Stone's money in my pocket.
That he's given you as a joke.
He's given me as a joke, but I need $40. And I think to myself, do I give it back to Curtis?
Oh, this is awesome.
Or do I keep it?
Oh, give me a drum roll, Brixie. But I don't know what I reckon.
Like, what would you do, Luke?
Oh, God. You know what I would do is I would give it back to him. I really think I'd give it back to him. But I can imagine that he's given it to you. Oh, no, you've got to give it back to him. Or you've got to attempt to give it back. Hey, Curtis, here's your $40, mate. That was a good bit. What did you do?
I gave it back.
Well, you gave it back.
I gave it back.
Hang on, did he take it?
He took it,
bastard. What a tight ass.
Yeah, yeah.
What a tight ass.
But I held it a little bit too far away, so he had to, like, get out of his chair to reach and get it back from me. But he wanted it back. He snapped it
back. Is that right?
Yep.
He's tight then.
Straight back in his wallet.
What do you reckon? If you had kept the $40, do you reckon in the back of his head he would have gone, that bloody bitch took my 40. Like, do you reckon, or he wouldn't have even noticed?
Well, he was like, when I walked backstage, he was looking at me like with his eyebrows up, you know, a bit of an expectant look. I was like, oh, I'm not getting that $40, am I?
How uncomfortable. That's uncomfortable for everyone. I love it.
So down, my dignity's down.
Yeah, your dignity's down, and so is your bank account, unfortunately.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
How's this, Mel? Last night, I was lying in bed, and Lauren, my girlfriend, was just talking about things, and then she goes, you know, I kind of feel guilty because we've been together for a year, and I was like, oh, God, here we go. What's she feeling guilty over?
What's she gone and bloody done?
Uh-oh. And so I'm like, yeah, what about? And I could tell she was being sort of serious about it, and she said, you know, in the 12 months that we've been together, I've only cooked for you 3 times. And I'm like, big deal. I couldn't care less. You know, she was like, the fact that is, I cook every night in our relationship. And she was going, no, I kind of feel bad about it because you just take that on and do it as you do that by yourself. And I never do it. And I'm like, I guess some blokes would get upset by that, but I couldn't give a toss. I enjoy it.
You were telling me off air that you cooked up a bloody fisherman's basket.
Last night, yeah. I enjoy cooking.
Yeah.
I legitimately enjoy cooking. And so we had a half sort of serious discussion about it, but we came out of it where I was like, I actually think we complement each other pretty well, because I was saying to her, I go, well, you've cooked for me 3 times. There's no way I've done 3 loads of washing in the time that we've been together. You know, like she does all of that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And really, we kind of worked out that my strengths, which would be cooking, for example.
Cooking, talking, knowing about footy.
Right, are her weaknesses, right?
Yep.
And vice versa. She's really good at cleaning. Like, she does stuff that I would never even think of doing. Like, if there's sort of I'm very guilty of just having, you know, say, paper just sort of stack up on the kitchen table because I'm going to get to it one day. And she's good at going, hey, you got to clean that up, you know? And I just get used to it being there. I don't even notice that it's there. But she's good at doing things that I'm not good at, and I enjoy doing things that she doesn't, like cooking. But she was saying it was pretty weird, like in a relationship, and I was wondering if it is that the dude does all of the cooking, because on all honesty, 3 times in 12 months she's cooked.
Well, what's happened is she's got herself a real catch.
Right. Right. So you think so? Keep going.
So she's snared you.
Be
right.
Quiet, Brixie. Yep. Mel's talking.
Gold Coast own Luke Bradnam.
Right, there you go.
You know, star of radio, weatherman. Like,
yeah.
And he cooks.
And I'll cook, yeah.
Women love that. Women go, and he cooks? Like, it's a big deal to get one who cooks.
But I wonder if it is, because I reckon, like, I know from my mates, for example, most of my mates cook every night. And I think the roles have changed. And I want to open the phones up now. 13 27 10. Has it flipped over in your work, in your life as well, where the dude does the majority of the cooking? Because I think we would find there would be a fairly even split these days. I know there's old school people like, you know, the dude never cooks. Like, say, my brother-in-law, Robbo, he never cooks.
But you wouldn't want Robbo to cook, by the sounds.
No, you wouldn't want Robbo to cook. But he's like the Sullivans back in the 50s where Petter cooks for him and he just doesn't. But I reckon there's more blokes cooking now than chicks, and it could be a 50-50 split. Phones are going off. Jed from Coomber Bar's called through. What did you want to say, Jed?
Well, I think it's the sign of the times, mate, to be honest. I'm sort of out of work, but I love cooking like yourself, and I pretty much cook 5-6 nights a week because the missus works, and, you know, you got to pull your weight too. I think it's, you know, pretty good sort of cook like yourself, mate, and I enjoy it.
Jed?
No one said I'm good. Yeah.
Jed, what's one of your best dishes that you would serve up?
I don't mind seafood. I don't mind sort of Italian, but like a nice lasagna. Like Luke's a bit of a fish eater too. Some nice
bloody oath I am, Mel. Let's move on to Alan from Mwillimbah before I get sidetracked. Alan, what did you want to say, mate?
Well, I not only do the cooking, I do the shopping, but my go-to is I was crowned by my daughter the other day as the lunch guru. I'm known at the local school because I treat school lunches as absolute brilliant.
What does your missus do?
She was a hairdresser and now she's a nurse. So,
no, but what does she do? How does she contribute at home?
Mate, she's the financial.
Oh, she's doing
it. I did connect with the benches. She loves clean benches. She's a clean freak.
Yeah, right.
So we complement one another as well. So it was nice to hear from you.
Yeah. My girlfriend, Lauren, when she moved in, she made me clean out this desk. And when I was cleaning it out, like, I just got bored of cleaning it. So I just literally tipped drawers down the chute at the apartment.
Yeah, of course.
Didn't even look what was in it.
Nah, doesn't matter.
I just went, job done.
If you needed it, it'd be stuck on the fridge with a magnet, wouldn't it?
Guy's called through. What did you want to say, Guy?
Hello, mate. Yeah, I think I'm in the same relationship. I do the cooking.
Do you? Yeah. I reckon a lot of blokes do, mate, now.
Well, I think so. I tried my wife. We swapped. She does the washing the same as in your relationship, but I tried to swap there at one stage, and I think I'm better off not getting the noodles and the cereal for dinner and just do the shopping myself.
Yeah. You know, and I've got it so good, too. Like, I said to Lauren the other day, like, she's so good at cleaning, Mel. The other day I go, I think the dishwasher's broken. And she goes, oh, really? Why? And I said, because, like, I chucked stuff in it last night and I woke up this morning and the stuff's, it's clean, but it's still in the dishwasher. I said, doesn't it magically just put itself away? But she's like, no, I do that, you moron. Like, I never unpack the dishwasher.
What a life you live, Luke Redlam. I would love that life.
You can come in, Mel. You can be a part of it.
I'll move in. Hey,
move in. Come and be a part of it.
You've set it on air, so it has to happen. Now.
It's so much fun.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast.
Just some interesting reading from the wrap-up of our Commonwealth Games that we had on over a year ago. It was in April last year, but there's still the Commonwealth Games are still going on for a number of athletes, Mel. There's a whole contingent of athletes from mainly African countries who never returned home. Did you read about this?
I did hear about this. I heard a lot of Com Games talk about they're from countries like Uganda, Sierra Leone, Rwanda, and they just thought, bloody Gold Coast is beautiful. I might get myself a little place down at Mermaid Waters and settle in.
Yeah, they've never returned home. And you go, all right, well, I guess there's, what are we talking about, three of them, four of them? There's 200 of them. 200 athletes and officials have yet to return home from the Commonwealth Games. And I guess they kind of stand out being here on the Gold Coast. So they think what they've done is most of them have taken off into different parts of the country.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But you'd reckon they'd stand out a little bit.
Yeah,
in
so check under your stairs. Have a good look around.
Running down the road in their Uganda tracksuits. Ah, far out. And the other interesting thing is, like, because I remember when they first went missing, these guys, I remember going into the subway. I don't know if this is racist or not, but this is just what happened for me.
Don't worry, I'll let you know.
You let me know if this is racist. So it was just after the word came through that there were a lot of them hadn't returned.
Mm-hmm.
And I went into the subway at Main Beach, funnily enough, with my daughter. And there were two guys there that but my daughter, and I was having this thought. Coralie comes over and she goes, I reckon they're the athletes. I reckon they're athletes that haven't returned home because they were African looking. Mm-hmm. And you just reckon that, and I was like, I was thinking the same thing. And then I went, I wonder if that's racist at all, that I was thinking that these guys must be the, you know, the Ugandan, you know, triple jump team or something like this. But what do you say? Is that racist to profile like that? Mel?
I don't reckon it's too bad, actually, Luke. And right. I know what I'm talking about because I drink chai lattes. Oh, so I'm quite well informed with race issues.
Right.
Yeah.
You are very... You're not ignorant of the big issues then. But this, the other one that they came up with is that out of the Commonwealth Games, we had 500 gold medals up for grabs, but they've only given away 499 of them because there's one event that still hasn't yet been decided. Did you know about this?
No, I didn't know about this.
Yeah, they're still waiting for the hide and seek champion, but they think
it. Oh!
Hey, long way to go, isn't it? Long way to go. Well, we'll wait and see. Could be the official from Uganda. We'll wait and see. We're racking off out of here. Anything you need to say, Mel, before we go?
Look, I'd like to say thank you for having me, Luke.
Thank you for coming in here, Mel. She's going to be back again tomorrow too.
Yeah, I will pop back in. It's a, look, how about tomorrow, if we stuff up on the new name, which is the Goldie Zone 92.5 Triple M.
Yes.
We get like a little, someone like hits us with
you
a little
taser
stick.
Us? What do you got there, Brixie? Yeah. You got a taser, mate? You got something you could, every time we stuff it up, if we say Gold 92.5 instead of Goldie's 92.5 Triple M. Yeah, you can taser us, mate. Whatever.
Yep.
That works for me. Hey, we're racking off out of here. Back tomorrow afternoon from 3 for your local drive home. Cop ya then. Bye.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.